He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Good morning or good day to our listeners on this week's edition of Car Keys with Jay DeMarkin, Mike Flint, and Robin Leach. One of the topics that has come to light for this show is that we may have the existence of speed cameras being placed in some of the towns around the Northwest Connecticut listening region.
That is right.
Drivers.
And just to put in there.
And I'll let Mike say something about it in a minute. Speed cameras that will, I guess, take photographs of licenses if you go through them too fast. Mike, do you want to chime in?
That's right, yeah. They have it. They already have this in Washington, Connecticut, which is in our general area. But now the town of Kent has been debating this. They've had public hearings and all, and on January 7th, they're going to vote in a referendum as to whether or not to have these placed, and I believe they're going on Route 7, the obvious place.
Well, these are brought in. Have to have signs alerting you to the fact that the cameras are present.
Well, yeah, and well, see, all of the technicals get picked up because there's actually a company who makes a living doing these things for people
and making
for towns
money out of it.
And making money out of it. So that's another part of the whole equation. It's going to cost a substantial amount of money. This company is going to have fees, blah blah blah. Then there's also the enforcement because you know it's touchy. You know, you're driving a rental car. Okay.
First of all, let's get to the point.
Ticket?
If you're driving a rental car, the rental company is going to get to you with whatever fees their car has been captured at going through. I know this because that happens with Easy Pass types of charges on Colorado roads. When I go out to Colorado, rent a car, and take the tolled highways rather than the freeways. And then a month or two later, I get a ding on my credit card for a toll that was captured on the car's license that has to be paid. But it usually gets put on my credit card by the rental company because they have the card in their records.
Yeah, okay.
So it shows up on the credit card bill later on. That's how that works. The town of Sharon has also alerted us through their newsletter that they are considering some way of trying to control speeding through the village of Sharon. Sharon has two hills that come into it from the south, one from the south and one from the north. And coming into it means coming to the shopping center area of Sharon. And I can tell you that cars and trucks come down the hills both directions at speeds that probably are at a dangerous level. And they're trying to figure out how to possibly control it. And the cameras were mentioned in this newsletter.
Well,
so,
and, you know,
there
Robin,
we go, listeners. Keep an eye out for new signage if the towns actually vote these into being, which I believe, they, as Mike said, they must have to do in order to get permission to do so.
They're going,
besides the fact it's now legal.
They're probably going to be watching what Kent does as kind of a lead up here. But the intersection you're talking about as well, I really want to add on to that. You have so many busy places feeding into that area by the shopping center.
That is correct.
And you know, the addition of signs to ticket and slow people down is actually a really good thing there because there's such a mess there, especially in the morning when everybody's going to work.
Every once in a while, I see a state trooper parked in the Shell station parking lot, usually not at a time when anybody is doing that kind of speeding,
right.
I might add.
Exactly.
You talked about somebody, one of us has talked about enforcement. Active enforcement isn't going to be anything more than the camera situation because what you'll do is you'll get a ticket in the mail, a photo. You'll have a photo ID of your car and you probably, and you'll end up having to go to court to deal with it. So they don't have to have a state trooper sitting there running, you know, waiting for the sign to blink. Somebody's coming down the hill at 50 miles an hour. And that wouldn't work anyways because flashers. People coming out of town who saw the state trooper there would be flashing their lights at everybody coming into town saying, slow down.
Well, they do that.
They do that all the time.
Yeah.
So let me chime in here. First of all, cameras are not a new technology, right?
They are not.
We've had them forever. We've had, I think there's a problem conceptually with speed cameras. But when you think of it, we've had red light cameras for
a long time,
not decades.
I got tagged by that in Providence, Rhode Island about 4 years
ago. Yeah, Providence, and you go in front of the funny judge there, and he lets you off. And
that's correct, Jay. Absolutely.
Right? What's his name? I forget his name.
He's great. It's the greatest court experience I've ever had.
We're going on a tangent here, but right. So I think speed cameras, I mean, I hate them. Let's be honest. I'm a fast driver. I think I'm a relatively safe driver and a fairly good driver. But speed cameras are the only way to have, first of all, everybody slow down all the time, and you have equitable enforcement and not this hodgepodge, a cop here, a cop there, and one guy gets a ticket and the next guy not. And on a rainy day, nobody does because everybody wants to stay warm in their car. So I am for it. I have seen it. I know I've said this before. I've seen it in Europe, and I lived there 25 years ago, and since then they're all over the place. And they are marked, big signs, not tricky signs, just to cover their legal, the legal side of things, but really warning signs say, hey, slow down. There is a radar in a quarter of a mile or whatever. And over the years, you do see a change in driver behavior. I mean, it was kind of shocking to me. Even in some areas where you know there are no speed cameras, no fixed speed cameras, like in work zones, people actually follow the speed limit, and they didn't do that 25 years ago. So it might take 20 years before people really start changing their habits, but I do think that there is something to be gained by installing speed cameras. And again,
okay.
I hate to say it.
Well, as many of us know, and I'm sure there are a lot of listeners to our show that know this also, Egremont is already a place where everybody goes the speed limit through it, and there isn't a speed camera in sight.
Yeah, that's
but
been all
have,
my
life. We have all learned
all my
that
life.
That was one of the best places to get a ticket that existed in our listing area for years. And everybody, for the most part, except for new people that don't know about the Egremont situation, definitely go through the village of Egremont at the posted speed limit, or maybe 2 miles an hour above.
So what should the speed limit be in the center of our towns?
Yeah,
right?
that's a
whole topic that could be discussed, because what should be the speed limit anywhere there's speed limit?
Exactly. And sometimes, as you look at it, and it's a really good topic, actually, because there are areas where we have ridiculously low speed limits for the road and how many driveways are on or anything, and you need to reevaluate and give people the ability to have a decent speed on the areas that are outside of town and then slow down in town. Because
well,
I think that's part of the problem, too.
Okay.
Is you're trying
Example,
to get places.
New York.
And, you know, what I hate, too, is when they sit down at the bottom of Smith Hill and radar you there.
Correct.
That's another thing.
It's
that's
very
one
hard
of my,
to go down
my beef.
Yeah,
below
yeah.
55
on the other hand,
miles an hour.
You can't miss them.
That's
I mean,
cheating.
You stick out like sore thumbs. I mean, it's fair enough.
No.
If you're not looking ahead, I mean, you can see a cop all the way up to the end of the road. But I get
well,
your
point. Well, that's true. But we don't need to belabor ourselves on this particular topic of the
we could.
Speed camera.
We
because
can go on all day.
We know yeah. it's there, and many listeners know it's there when it's there. And as Jay says, you can see
so
the
back
officer.
To my question, what should the speed be in towns?
Well, I think the posted speed is between 30 and 35 in most villages. Salisbury is 35 coming in from Canaan, or 30. And the problem is that people don't obey that speed limit.
No, the problem
very much.
Is that 30 is way too fast in the middle of the day. Way too fast.
Well, fine. But putting 25 isn't going to change that.
Yes, it is.
They now have those walking signs that they flash
will.
At you, that people, if they'll push the button,
well, yeah.
makes you alert, alert you to the fact that you better damn well slow down. And
see, therein
and,
lies.
You know, my problem with these walking crosswalks is that people don't, some people just don't push the button.
That's right.
And that's as annoying as anything, because they think you're going to see them and slow down before they step out into the pathway.
So
and
can
the flashing
I tell you
lights are very effective, so that everybody should use them.
A lot of times I do not use the buttons.
But you don't walk too much, so you don't have to.
I walk plenty. And, I walk more than you do. So
and you don't cross at the walking place either. That's another issue with where they're
depends,
located.
But I will
he's
make,
a jaywalker.
He's a jaywalker, right.
There's a civility factor that comes into play between pedestrians and drivers. And I try not to slow down traffic unreasonably. So I don't push on the button because the light stays on for 20 seconds. I look left
so
and right.
So what?
And I wait till if a car's close by, I let it go. And then I move into the crosswalk.
Well, we're not going to try to learn how Jay does it because that's just too complicated. Just when you go up to a crosswalk,
it's
you
common sense.
Push the button. So what if it goes 20 seconds?
Well,
yeah.
When you walk up to a crosswalk, stop and look as well, because as a person who is a pedestrian, you have a stake in this as well to give a common courtesy to be aware of your surroundings and not just walk in because you press the button, boom, in the street, because as I've said before, that big hunk of metal is going to win every time.
It's called your physical integrity.
Yes, okay. There you go.
Yes.
Can we move on?
To what? Sure.
If
go
you
ahead.
Want.
Well, I'm looking at something. Motor Trend, car, truck, and SUV rankings, the biggest winners of 2024. You know, we talk about these magazines and their rankings off and on this show. And, of course, driving is such a personal situation. I'm not sure that either Jay or I would necessarily agree with Car and Driver or Motor Trend or whatever, Road and Tracks rankings on an annual basis. I don't know whether the rankings actually affect the sales of the models or not. Jay, you might have a comment on that. I'm not going to go through
about?
The Motor Trend thing. I'm just saying we're talking about year-end discussions on this particular show for those who want to know when it was done. I could start by saying Nissan. The Nissan Titan is apparently one of their best rankings winners for 2024. A BMW car is on it on the list, and so are Toyotas and Subarus and the like, Mazdas. How anybody wants to figure out by rankings what car they should buy on the basis of a magazine's recommendation? Jay, do you have any thoughts about that? I don't think that's worth the ink because it's on the paper.
The Nissan Titan, it may be a great truck, but I don't think 1 in 10 truck buyer is going to buy a Nissan. The last time I saw a Nissan Titan was, I don't know, I can't remember. I see F-150s, F-250s, 350s, all the GM product, and Toyotas, Tundras, Tacomas, I hardly ever see a Titan. It comes back to that situation with Nissan where their sales have just cratered this year in the U.S.
Yeah, I know.
Which is why they're scrambling and which is why they're looking at making
this merging with Honda.
And I was looking at what the 2025 sales were looking like, and Honda is actually looking good and looking at passing Stellantis has become this, in becoming the second biggest car manufacturer in the U.S., or not manufacturer, biggest
seller
in the U.S. behind GM. And I don't know where Ford went. I mean, I was just going
I don't know where Ford went either. The only thing that Ford sees on an annualized basis of being first is the pickup trucks.
Well, when you start eradicating models from your lineup, at some point you don't have any lineup anymore. And
well, that's what's happened to Stellantis, as you and I have said
well,
on this
happens
show.
Ford happens. It's happening to Stellantis, and so what do they have to sell? Not a whole heck of a lot.
Jeeps.
Not a lot of choice.
That's
hard
correct.
To have loyalty when you don't have choice.
Well, Toyotas, Hondas, Nissans, Kias, Hyundais, Mazdas. You know. Ford may be in the list, but I haven't seen it yet as I'm scrolling down through the Motor Trend. Oh, the Ford, the pickup truck, the Ranger, has made the list. Just trying to figure out what to buy. As they appropriately say at the beginning of this whole article, all the cars, Jay, and you said this, all the cars today are basically excellent in terms of engineering and
right.
mostly driving prowess. And it doesn't really matter what you end up buying if you can find something that looks interesting to you and you can find it at the right price. But the reliability factor is so good today that I think many of the vehicles can go safely 200,000 miles before you should think about turning them in. You'll obviously put in brakes and new tires and other things, but the reliability factor is extraordinarily wonderful over what they used to be in the mid-60s, 70s, and 80s of last century.
Absolutely. So another trend I was just reading, it seems like smaller cars may be back in fashion. Honda is selling quite a few Civics, and I can't remember what
Toyota's other is selling one. Quite a few Corollas.
Yes, but you know, let's keep in mind those cars have grown too. When I see a Honda Civic pass on the highway now, it looks like it's a large sedan if you compare it to anything that's
This is what I call creeping growth in all these models. I'm waiting to see the new Ford smaller pickups, Mavericks, start going up 2 inches on the next design change because somebody's convinced them that they need 2 more inches of length in the cabin for some strange reason. And by, you know, within 10 years, they're going to be the size of the Ford Ranger. And then they'll bring out a new small truck.
So you know what hasn't changed in all
these
years? What? The size of garage doors. I have a friend, we have a common friend who will remain nameless, who managed to scrape a whole side of a car going into a garage that he was not used to going into with a new-ish Range Rover. Garage doors have not grown. Cars have. And it creates a little challenging situation in getting in and out of them.
You also have to worry about the height of some of these vehicles when you go down to park in a garage in a city. If you've got a rack on top, you better not go into the garages, especially if you're carrying a ski container on top of the car.
And a little tidbit here, too, and it's happened to me, when you pull your car out of the garage in the winter and you have 6 or 8 inches of snow that's packed, all of a sudden you're scraping your roof bars on the top
on
of the garage
on these low
door.
Garage door openings.
Yes. That's happened to me. I have little marks on one of my cars.
You still have your head on.
A little driving experience in comparison. I drove 2 cars back to back that were mid-size SUVs. Granted, one was bigger than the other. A Mercedes GLE with air suspension, and a Volvo XC60, which is actually a car I'm liking more and more. But the ride quality was there's absolutely no comparison between the two. The Mercedes just rides so much better than the Volvo. Now, I've driven the Volvo XC90 with air suspension, and that is more comparable.
To the Mercedes?
Yeah. So those pneumatic suspensions are actually pretty good.
Did the Volvo 60 not have air or did have air?
Did not have air.
Okay, and it did not have an adjustable driving settings knob on it like Audis do and other cars do, which is comfort, sport, automatic, or something else.
So, speaking of which, you know, you were saying all cars are good. I bought my last SUV, which is a few years ago, without doing the one thing I would recommend people do, and that is sitting in the car. Because what may seem comfortable to you may not be comfortable to somebody else. But what seems to be pretty much unanimous is the Volvo, front seats of Volvo SUVs and sedans are probably the best in the industry. You're instantly comfortable, I am anyway, and most people are in Volvo's XC60s, 90s, are pretty much the same seats. But even the seats without all the 18 different wave functions are really comfortable in those Volvo SUVs.
Well, I have found, to go on a seat thing, I think seat comfort is extraordinarily important in cars, and you're not going to find out what the real seat comfort level is in a test drive from a dealership when you go out and turn right 4 times and get back to the dealership 5 miles later or less. Definitely, I have found that seat padding on the seat on the what do you call the seat you sit on part is very important to me, and I have seat fatigue in a couple of my cars more so than other cars. And I don't know what you talk about as being the effect of the comfort level on the seats, but I think the firmness of the padding, maybe both in the back sections and the seat sections, is where it comes in.
I think there's a, you know, I think we have to take the time to adjust the seats. A lot of these, you know, fancy new cars have seats that adjust sometimes in 12 or 18 different ways. And I've driven some cars on very long distances where I was really uncomfortable for a very long time. And then I really spent the time tweaking the seat, and after a while found a position that really worked for me. And I think that's just the thing. You know, cars are complicated. When you get in them, you have to try to sort things out before you get on the road.
Well, you've got height adjustments, you've got back adjustments, you've got forward and rear adjustments. Some of them have buttons you push, and you can feel airbags in the seats pump up behind the upper lower part of your back. True, if you know how to figure out all the adjustments that are capable on some of these cars, you can indeed, over time, I don't know how long it would take, find a comfortable setting. And if you can freeze that setting on the controls of many cars, or luxury cars especially, so that they come back to the same position that you set them at, you have your seat problem solved as far as comfort level is concerned. But the rest of the time, you are probably suffering one way or another with a too soft cushion or a too rigid back or whatever. And therein lies the issue of seat comfort.
So I think we're running towards the end of the show here. A little safety tidbit. In the middle of last night, I had the unfortunate task of driving to Bradley Airport on all Route 44.
In the rain.
And it was absolutely pouring rain. And I could not see much of anything out the window.
Yep.
Out of the windshield.
Amen to this.
Yeah, I hate driving in that car. Everything goes dark on you. It all just blends together.
The yellow lines are not visible in the rain, bouncing off the thing. The white lines, if they're even there, are not visible. And you got oncoming cars with glaring headlights, and you cannot see whether you're in the right lane or not all the time.
Correct. And
it is very dangerous.
The worst part was getting, you know, to Windsor Locks, where it's a four-lane highway before you get to the airport. And it was just a sea of water and reflection from some of the overhead street lights. And it was just a mess. It was just an absolute mess. It was also 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was not where I wanted to be. But there is no good solution.
No, there's no good solution, no visible solution. That's for sure.
No pun intended. Try to stay out of the – and it's always the same thing. Try not to get on the road in bad weather conditions if you don't need to.
Especially at night. And
at night.
Some of the town roads don't even have center lines in them in some areas. And that, when the cars are oncoming and you can't see the side of the road, much less the middle of the road, can be very unnerving.
Yeah, and I know sometimes when I've been out in those conditions where there's dips in the road and the water ponds, you don't really perceive those until you're hitting it.
Right.
Mike and Robin, I think we're all of us getting old, but
we are. That's, you know,
year.
We're doing it gracefully.
Okay, we'd like to think so.
Yeah, we'd like to think so. Well, you know,
we
got another minute or two if you got a couple other thoughts.
Jay will talk
you know.
About more safety driving.
Let Jay go on safety for a moment.
Well,
it's a new year coming in. It's Jay's safety tips on how to do things in the new year.
Were your wipers in good condition, or were they not clearing the windshield even though it was pouring?
I literally had just replaced the wipers yesterday or the day before.
Okay.
There you go.
And was very thankful I did.
Okay, well, therein lies that lesson for people. If your wipers are not really clearing the windshield, they streak, and that'll distort the water on the windshield to a problem of visibility out the windshield, even if it's not raining terrifically hard.
Well, and sometimes, too, in those conditions, you'll get a humid thing going on inside the car where the windows start to smoke up.
Yes,
and it's very, what I've found effective is to use those fog rags on it
periodically. Put on the defroster, and the air conditioner usually goes on and dehumidifies the air pretty quickly,
even in
colder weather.
There's stuff you can apply to that that stops that altogether, so you don't have to do that.
A lot of people don't clean their windshields.
That's right, inside.
I know people
inside.
Who detail their cars, and they just do not do the windshield.
A fog, yes, a fog builds up on the windshield.
Film on the inside of the windshield.
Yep.
You need to clean that.
Yeah, absolutely. For that night, that kind of driving, that just makes it even worse.
All right, guys, I'm on my way
to
Florida.
All right, guys, well, just make sure you're safe. Don't jaywalk.
Everybody, have a good 2025, which is coming very close after this show is done.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.